All right, so tell me about, I know from your social media, you're happy with Par on Instagram and all the places that I knew that you were like getting pumped and you're excited about going to the Northeast Disc Golf Expo. And a lot of people got excited once they saw the post about it. But tell us a little bit about when you first heard about it, what it was all about and what you had planned to encounter when you were getting there.
So back when I was actually vending at Worlds, I met Ben Kenny, who is, I guess, the founder of the Northeast Disc Golf Expo. And he had kind of dropped me a line, you know, just telling me if I was interested in kind of checking it out this year. And I don't think I really even remembered until, you know, maybe even after USDGC and I was back at home and he and I connected online. So I looked it up. And last year, you know, it was kind of just a very small trade show, you know, disc golf trade show, just very industry oriented. So in my mind, I kind of, you know, saw this as a really good opportunity to make some sales and also just do some networking, you know, within the disc golf community. But as I started to pay attention on social media and seeing more of the vendors that were being dropped and, you know, this guy, Ben, and through the Northeast Disc Golf Expo, social media was kind of, you know, promoting that, hey, we've got twice as much real estate as last year. This thing's going to be huge. I started seeing Innova, Discraft, you know, MVP, everybody was signing on. And that's when I got really hype and just knew I had to get up there.
Well, now I feel kind of, well, I am ignorant. I didn't realize that they had already done it. I thought this was the first year they did it. So they actually had, was it called the Northeast Disc Golf Expo last
yep.
year as well? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so last year it was held at the same place, but I think they only maybe rented one of the rooms. And like I said, they told me that they doubled space. So, I mean, I guess they doubled vendors, maybe even more than that, because one of the rooms was pretty big. And then the other one was nice size, too. Actually, there was another room as well where they were doing like panels and stuff. So they had the whole kind of conference center of this, this big hotel and conference center sort of retreat. All blocked off just for the disc golfers. So it was pretty big. And I think there were maybe, I might be totally making this up, but I think I'm in a roundabout house of 3,000 tickets were sold for the first day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's so awesome. It was packed. It was really packed. And there were exclusive releases from a lot of the manufacturers there. Obviously I was rocking with Clash and, you know, they brought some of the tone plastic or the tone technology to showcase. And then you had Paul McBeth showing up with the Kratos release. Innova and Big Germ were there. So it was really just kind of like a who's who within the disc golf industry and a great opportunity for disc golf enthusiasts and, you know, kind of just fans wanting to spend some money and fully immerse themselves in the community and scene. It gave them a really good opportunity while, you know, on the East Coast and especially Northeast, it's been kind of crappy weather. So you haven't been able to get out and play as much.
Yeah.
This was really an opportunity to just like kind of fully be in the mix.
So when you first got the information and was it a thing where like you paid a certain price as a vendor, like you could like different size booths and stuff like that?
Yeah, totally. So I think they had, you know, there were maybe two or maybe three options for booth space and then tiers for sponsoring the event as well and sort of contributing in that fashion. And, you know, I'm a little guy, so I just kind of went with the basic 10x10 space. But, you know, I felt that's all I really needed to kind of make my impression there.
Yeah. And so did they have other activities there besides just kind of the trade show?
Yeah, so they had sort of like a separate room that was just for panels that they held sort of all day long. They had, you know, Derek Skull with Gatekeeper Media sat in on a panel with Joseph Phillips from Another Round Disc Golf and Robbie C and the Nick and Matt Show were there. And, you know, some of those guys kind of spoke on disc golf media. And then, you know, there was maybe some course design talk and Q&A with Simon. And yeah, so they had the panel room. And then there was a separate room where they actually had like life-size cutout of Simon with his Music City Open guitar. And they had the Music City Open guitar there on display. You could plug in and play. It was pretty cool. Yeah, it was funny. Cool. I had to get a picture with that.
Now, if I remember correctly, it was just Saturday and Sunday, right? It was just the 2 days?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then was there anything different for each day as far as vendors, or was this more just, you know, Saturday we're open these hours and Sunday we're open these hours?
Yeah, it was sort of that deal. They were open, I believe, Saturday from like 10 to 7 and then Sunday from 10 to 7 as well. Things that might have varied were kind of booth to booth. You know, they might have had different releases at different times or different activities, signings and stuff like that to sort of entice you to come back. And then, yeah, attached to the property was a 9-hole glow course. So I think they had tee time set up for that, and that kind of brought people in as well. So, yeah, it was cool, man.
Did you ever get a chance to walk around?
I did, yeah. There was a couple times where I just kind of lean over to Marku and I'm like, you know, cover the booth. I got a QR code up. Maybe I got to grab a bite to eat. And in the meantime, you know, kind of take a stroll. And yeah, everywhere I went, man, it was really, really cool because I mean, it's just, you know, the only people there are there because they want to be there. They paid a ticket to be there. So they're quite enthusiastic, you know, about kind of just bopping around and, you know, getting a hold of special releases. I know a lot of people kind of came up to my booth early on and, you know, cause I was in sort of like the first room and would kind of like chat with me, but you could see like their eyes were scanning the perimeter like the whole time. Cause nobody wanted to miss out on anything like early on. So yeah, it was a lot of excitement and I don't know. I definitely see this happening more in the future and definitely just growing bigger and bigger.
Yeah, what were some of the special drop? I know, like you said, Clash Discs had the Tone, and then Paul Macbeth had one of his releases. Was there any other manufacturers that had like a event only release there?
ThoughtSpace was there, and I know that they released. I know that they released some apparel. They may have dropped like a special foil stamp disc or something like that. Not necessarily an exclusive mold. Gateway had a lot of stuff that released over at their booth. And then Happy With Par, you know, we released gibbets for the first time. So I brought the first ever croc doodad to market. and then I also did a collabo t-shirt with Gatekeeper Media. So we did 50 exclusive artwork and then in two separate colorways. Yeah, it was cool. Oh, and yeah, MVP dropped some glitches and maybe some watts with Northeast Disc Golf Expo stamps. Lone Star Disc dropped like some exclusive stamped, I believe it was like their Glow Benny. It's like one of their beaded putters. So there was sort of like little variations of something kind of everywhere, you know, to really entice you to visit each booth.
Yeah. Now, was it more or less like a, I don't mean to say this as a derogatory, but was it more like just a glorified Fly Mart, or was it, did it seem more special than that?
I mean, I don't, to be honest, I've never really attended a Fly Mart aside from, you know, just vending at one of the events that I've been to. So it's kind of hard to say that, but I guess I would say it was different and maybe more that because of sort of like around the clock activities happening where, you know, there was the 9-hole glow course out back. There was a mini course actually built into the hotel conference center and, you know, people's rooms are sort of, you know, surrounding all of this. So it was really like, I don't know, more like a retreat. It felt more kind of like a disc golf retreat for like the weekend. I just didn't get time to play like full rounds.
Oh, I think it's awesome. In fact, when I remember, I think it was Infinite Disc, right? That was going to have Disc Golf Con. And it got canceled because of the pandemic and all that, you know, things were happening. And so it kind of felt like, oh, man, I want stuff like this to happen. So I was excited to see that it was being put on. It's interesting to find out that it's really the second year, but it's great that it's grown. And I would imagine next year it's going to be even bigger. But, you know, the whole prospect you mentioned earlier of it opening up in different parts of the United States or even the world. I think I saw Michael, I can't know if I pronounce his last name, Bowie, but yeah. Heatland Disc Golf, a great guy growing the sport over there. And he was so excited about attending it. He's thinking he wants to do one over there, overseas, which I think is amazing. I reached out to guys at Tulsa Disc Golf Club here, the Tulsa Disc Sports Association. I thought, man, I wonder if we could do one here, because that would kind of be the mid-region type of expo, and I was wondering if that would be even something viable to do here. But I think it's exciting. I think it's a definitely shows that the sport is growing, the fandom is growing, which people I'm sure excited about the releases and things like that. Oh, so and one a question I had was, so do you feel that it was a worthwhile investment for you as a brand to attend something like this?
Yeah, I definitely do. I mean, you know, once again, I kind of went with the 10 by 10 kind of smaller footprint. But, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit, you know, still one of the little guys. I feel that I met a lot of other kind of little guys when I was up there and, you know, even felt like I was able to pass off a little bit of knowledge or just support in that way, which, you know, connected me with some more people who it's just that's the part of the community, just kind of keeping that train rolling. Definitely some networking in the background as far as like business stuff. And yeah, I mean, my sales were good because we're talking about really a consumer oriented event. I mean, the whole thing is like you're planning to go there and spend money. So yeah, it was good. I had a blast and I would definitely do it again.